Okay, so good afternoon. As Michelle said, I'm Nicole Vaughn, and this is Sarah Jacoby, and we're excited to talk to you about some of the work that we've been doing in Philadelphia related to youth violence prevention and digital animation as a way to communicate with youth audiences. Both Sarah and I have no relationships, financial relationships to disclose. So to get started, as an overview for our talk, we're going to talk about the context of youth violence and prevention in Philadelphia, then talk a little bit about our center, and then we're going to go into talking about the dissemination in the literature, so thinking about sort of the research community as well as the public and lay community. Then we'll talk about the current project, focusing on the importance of our community advisory board and youth advisory board in guiding us, the focus group, and then we'll talk about broader dissemination efforts and then results discussion and next steps. So this project was supported by the Center for Disease Control, and it doesn't represent an official position of CDC. So just stepping back, in 2005, when the Philadelphia Collaborative Violence Prevention Center was funded, Philadelphia was a hotbed of violence at the time. And what we knew from the areas that we were primarily focusing in, which was West and Southwest Philadelphia, Cobbs Creek, Haddington, and King Sessing areas, was that 43% of the population was younger than 25 years old. About three quarters of them were African American, and almost a third were living below the federal poverty line. And we know that living in this type of environment of high levels of crime and violence really interfere with healthy development among youth. And we knew that this small area, there were nearly five times the reported rate of assaults and robberies. So it was really sort of imperative for us to work with our community groups in order to tackle this problem. So in terms of dissemination, the traditional ways that have been documented in the literature, as well as you all sitting here, is conference presentations, invited guest lectures, panels, journal articles, that sorts of thing. But our center was founded on principles of CBPR, and so the community was very engaged from the inception of the center. And our work here will really focus on the two points that are highlighted here, dissemination to all partners, and a process that was really cyclical and iterative. These principles are really sort of important to all of the work that we've been doing at the center for the past 5 years. So in terms of lay community dissemination, really going beyond the academic setting is really uncharted territory, and we looked through the literature, and what we found is that mostly what happens is that care providers are the focus. There's usually short summary statements or maybe policy briefs that are really targeting policymakers. But really, we understand that dissemination to our community partners, the people that are really involved in the work from the beginning as well as contribute to the work all the way throughout, needs to be a priority. And that they're really, if you can balance both of these things well, that there's really personal and community benefit. And Israel, in her work, talks about this, and then later on we'll sort of talk about some of the benefits, both personally and for community, that we've been able to see through this project. So last year, in 2010, there was a paper published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine that really highlighted the importance of community dissemination. And they did a systematic literature review, and of 5,000 studies, they were able to narrow it down to about 101 studies that actually talked about CBPR and dissemination beyond scholarly publications. So 40% of those studies were identified. And of the 48, they ended up going back and following up with those researchers and asking exactly what they did. And 84% reported that they had disseminated to the general public, and the most common area that they had worked on in sort of dissemination had been community meetings. So I present this slide just to show you sort of the workings of our overall center in Philadelphia. And there's a number of cores that have been associated that work with the center. And what I need to highlight is that our center is cross-institution. So there are researchers that are from Temple University, from Drexel University, where I am, as well as University of Pennsylvania. And the lead organization is the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So it's run by an emergency room physician, Joel Fine. But one of the key pieces was that there was the Philadelphia Area Research Community Coalition, a very active community group that comprised of 25 community-based organizations that was also a lead in this project. And so what I'd like to highlight here is that at the directorship of each of the cores, there were two academic researchers as well as one community researcher that were chosen by PARC to sit at the directorship level and really guide the work. So there's community input in all levels of the project. And for this animation project, Sarah and I like to talk about it as almost encompassing the entire center. Sarah was in the research core. I was part of the communication and dissemination core. I have a colleague in the audience as part of the Centerpiece Research Project. But we sort of all came together, and there was a lot of bi-directional communication between all of us. And this is sort of a heroic task, considering that we're all from different institutions, we're all located in different places, but we really were committed to doing this work in the most respectful way. So one of the things that was started at the beginning of the center was a community advisory board. And it was individuals that were identified by PARC, the community-based organization, that also led us to 12 community leaders from our target neighborhoods in King, Sessing, Haddington, and Cobbs Creek. And they met quarterly, and they had a five-year time commitment. But one of the things that I think is key is that each of the leaders that came to the table was really passionate, really vocal, and really pushing us to really think outside of the box in terms of really getting this work back to the community in a timely fashion. Most of the research that's done shows that it takes almost 10 to 25 years for the research evidence to actually get back into practice in the community, and we really wanted to shorten that time frame. So some of the feedback that the Community Advisory Board gave us was really that we needed to target findings to both adults and youth in the community, that really they wanted youth to be involved in the dissemination process. And although youth had been involved in all of the different projects within the center, so a number of different research projects from year 1 to 5, they really pushed us on moving towards a more formal structure of youth engagement. And then one of the key things is really moving beyond just reporting the findings back to the community in sort of a community meeting format, but really thinking about concrete strategies that community members can put into action now. So in terms of our youth advisory board, we had in year 3.5 sort of to 4, it was really key that the community advisory board began to push us in this direction. And so we did develop a formal structure and a couple of my colleagues, I have a former graduate student that was working with us to develop the Youth Advisory Board, Talia Williams, and Crystal Wyatt really helped to sort of pull this off the ground. And in the year 5, this group became really important in really guiding the decisions that are related in this project, and Sarah will talk about that shortly. But one of the things that was similar is that they both had a commitment to, like all the youth had a commitment to really sort of making a difference in their community. And one of the things I'd like to highlight, which was really sort of key in us developing and working together, was this additional piece around educational enrichment activities and community service. So as we were building this project with these young people that were giving us their ideas and their expertise about what they wanted their peers to know about violence prevention, we really felt that it was an opportunity to also engage them in educational enrichment activities, professional development, resume building, those sorts of things, and meeting with leaders in Philadelphia to expose them. So it really becomes sort of co-learning at every level, and it takes time to sort of build that in, but it was really quite valuable.
Okay, and I'm just going to speak a little bit about the logistics of creating the animation pieces that we're talking about today. So a suggestion emerged from the Community Advisory Board to take the findings generated in the research done by the center and translate them to the larger Philadelphia youth community. And one suggestion was made to do it via like an artistic cartoon medium, like put cartoons with research findings in local papers. So that was sort of the starting point with which we began to think about this. And the research that came out of the center that was most amenable to this type of translation was the Living Healthy in Philadelphia study, which was a series of semi-structured interviews with youth aged 10 to 16 from West and Southwest Philadelphia, which talked about how they understood safe and unsafe space in their neighborhoods, along with what they considered to be stressors also assets of living in a community with a high level of violence exposure. So from that, a college-level intern, Alvin Drucker, took the de-identified transcripts of the qualitative data and put together 18 potential storylines, which we call vignettes, which are basically short stories that could be translated to something like a cartoon. And these were then linked to research-based, evidence-based tips that were developed by the administrative core of the center, basically as a way to 55 different tips that could be used in the community to help prevent violence. So we had these snippets of the qualitative data associated with the evidence-based tips. And the next step was to decide, was cartoons the right way to go? So we engaged the interest of a couple of local artists who had all had done some work in social media campaigns. We spoke to a digital animator, a team of comic artists and cartoonists, and got their they agreed to work, if hired, in an iterative process with youth and community members to develop some sort of artistic platform for research, finding, dissemination. They also agreed to let us use their samples of their work in focus groups, which we did with youth. So we did two focus groups, one among youth age 10 to 13 and one among youth age 14 to 16 at a local recreation center, to talk about how their feelings about their communication with their peers, and then we gave them the opportunity to look at the vignettes that had been pulled and to talk about what they thought was the most resonant way to artistically portray those vignettes. So the major themes that emerged were that youth across all of the age groups and their peers had consistent access to internet-based media, and this was preferred overwhelmingly over like static newspaper reading-based media sources. The youth really resonated with visual media that they found to be both humorous and also that demonstrated a realistic portrayal of their lived experiences and their local environment. They were able to, of the eight vignettes, prioritize the top five for development, and they overwhelmingly preferred digital animation as the way to go. So with that, we hired an animator, the digital animator, and he developed some storyboards, which is basically sketches of what these five animated vignettes would look like. And we took that to another focus group with members from the first set of focus groups and some of the youth advisory board members, and we talked with them about how we could, you know, mold the storyboards to be most realistic for them, and also how we could refine our characters, our main boy, female and male characters, to be something that they really thought represented them correctly. The next step was to have two of the youth advisory board members basically re-scripted the original vignettes in a local youth vernacular, and then we did a on-the-spot casting and rehearsal for voiceover sessions done with our animator. And so the voiceover recordings took place upstairs after the casting was complete, and he was able to do animations based on these voiceover recordings. So just to give you a sense of what this ended up looking like, the top quote in yellow is from the actual data. So this was... And this was linked to the research-based rationale that taking proper measures when you feel yourself getting angry can reduce the potential for conflict. And this culminated in the animated short we call Keeping Calm, and hopefully this will play.
Yo, happy to my fight. Just got it last week. What am I going to do? Grandma. Grandma, well, she gives me anything. She loves me. Hey, yo, Jason.
Hey, what up, David?
Oh, what happened to your bike? I was at the store. I come out. My tire was flat.
What? So what you gonna do about it?
I don't know.
Since he don't walk the block, he probably messed up your bike, so she's gonna mess up his.
Are you still sitting here, man? Let's go.
No, I'm cool.
So that was Keeping Calm. And then hopefully... And then just to give you one other example, again, the top is the quote from the qualitative interviews about It's a young girl talking about how she looks up to and uses the wisdom of her sister to help her to make good decisions in her life. And let's see if this works. This is the vignette called Role Models.
Okay, class, settle down. Today, we will continue our discussion on leadership. Who would like to come up to the front of the class to tell us about your role model? Somebody, raise your hand. Anybody. All right. Rihanna, you're first.
The person I picked was my sister, Asia. She's my sister and my best friend. You know, she's 26, graduated from college. Oh, and now she's getting her master's. She's going to own her own shop soon. I'm with her every weekend. This weekend we went to the carnival in South Philly. We took a bunch of pictures in the photo booth. She's always helping people on the block. I'm going to be just like her when I grow up. She took Mr. and Mrs. Brown to the pageant and did some gardening too.
So, Rihanna, what really makes her your role model?
Well, I picked Asia because she's a leader. She always does the right thing, and she remembers where she came from. She did so much in her life. I want to be just like her when I grow up.
Thank you, Rihanna, for sharing with us. Asia sounds like a wonderful person. I am happy she's your role model. Okay, who wants to go next?
So just sort of wrapping up quickly, we also use these characters in an ad campaign that we're running on our local train system in Philadelphia. We debuted the animations as well as the characters that you see right here in this ad at an annual community symposium with over 150 attendees of parents, youth, and community leaders. We've developed this work into a Facebook page, and so we have ongoing discussions. This is a picture of the second ad in the train. These are two more ads, and I just sort of show you this to just show you the prioritization of messages that the Youth Advisory Board really was instrumental in working with us on. The current ad, Fight Truancy, is running now on our subway system. And then finally, in terms of personal benefit and community benefit, here's just some local quotes from some focus groups that we did in the last few weeks that really highlight this point. One of the young women really felt that she learned that this way, her way was not the best way, and that it's really not always what she wants, but really working with others and listening more. And this really highlights the importance of community benefit, that this person was really excited about doing this work and having the input and changing the characters and refining the characters, but was able to take this kind of work and compromise into their school environment. So in terms of discussion, really, there needs to be a focus on dissemination of evidence-based strategies in a timely fashion, that also that we really need to take this part extremely seriously, and that really we can build on community assets and engage the community throughout the entire process. Some of our lessons learned are really that academic expectations and timelines can be tight, but we really cannot dilute or sort of rush through the process, because it really does affect the quality of the product, and that the youth were really important in terms of re-scripting the dialogue, prioritizing messages, and really refining the characters. And then in terms of limitations, this work really focused on the process of being able to do this type of dissemination. We have not tested the effectiveness. We know that our ads reach about 1.5 million riders every 28 days, but the next step would be a more formal evaluation of the messaging and the content, and maybe some intercept surveys on the trains that feature the ads. And then this work would not be done without a team. So these are our co-authors on this project, as well as a number of individuals that work with us in the center. So thank you.